Throughout history, folks who've lived along the Apalachicola have faced adversities. Industries have come and gone many times.
This town has lived and died about three or four different times, and you don't see many towns that do that.
The sun and the moon, circles tracing circles in the sky, while old people and children look at each other in the mirror, in the eye. Like the turning of a water wheel, like the voice of a long lost friend. When I think about my old friends, I think about circles again.
Some may say Apalachicola has come full circle in the past 178 years. In the early 1800s, the South recognized the Panhandle community as the third largest cotton port on the Gulf Coast, ranking only after New Orleans and Mobile. The town's first unofficial name was Cottontown, but Florida's first railroad drew away most of the cotton trade. Devastating hurricanes blew through Gulf Coast communities in the 1830s and 40s, not to mention yellow fever epidemics and the Civil War. In the 1880s, the town hit another economic boom with the beginning of cypress milling. 96-year-old Homer Marks remembers where many of the old sawmills used to stand.
The Cypress Lumber Company come down here from, I think, Baltimore or somewhere up in there in 84. And then there was a Bay City out there. You turn her off just before you get to my place out there. And then just beyond me was Coombs' mill. It bought in 1910, as I heard. Then there was a Loxley Mill, the Coombs Mill, and the Cypress Lumber Company. And the Kimball Mill was right here in town, but it was gone. It went with the fire in 1900.
The new pastor of the First United Methodist Church of Apalachicola, Reverend Brian Fowler, has heard a lot about that turn-of-the-century blaze.
In 1900, the pastor's wife had left a pan of grease on the stove, evidently, and had forgot about it, and it started the fire, and the wind blew it across the street to the Methodist church, and it went to the rest of the town from there.
The congregation of the First United Methodist Church rebuilt. 99 years after the fire, about 200 people belong to the church. It's one of about 15 churches in this town of 3,000 residents, and Reverend Fowler says allegiance is strong.
I say probably about half my congregation has been here for generations. For example, the mayor of the town is a member here, and his family is one of the founding families. The church is 160 years old. He told me just the other night that he sat with six generations of his family in this church, and not many people can say that.
That mayor is Bobby Howell.
I retired from the military in 28 February 89. Uh-huh. And then I spent a year having cancer operation. And then I was elected the mayor in September of 91. And then I was reelected in September 95. And it's not going to be a third time. My wife said she would leave me if I ran again.
In a small community like Apalachicola, everyone seems to know everyone else, especially a person's history, good times and bad times. So it wouldn't be surprising to hear that the current mayor, Bobby Howell, has a tie to one of the town's oldest residents, Homer Marks. Howell is actually a descendant of the family that affects Homer's life every day. It's the kind of story that transcends time. It's a love story, really. You see, everybody knows Homer Marks for the many businesses he's run through the years. He's been in the wholesale grocery business, the ice business that catered to the seafood operators. He's been a beekeeper in the Tupelo honey business. But when locals see him drive down the streets of Apalachicola, he has a license until 2001, they all usually know where he's going. That's the way it is in a small town with one blinking light. Homer Marks is usually headed to one of his two favorite spots, One is his garden on the edge of town.
I got onions and collards, rutabagas, harsh potatoes, corn out the bluff.
What touches most people is how Homer Marks drives almost daily to one of the local cemeteries to tend to the gravestones of the people he's loved in his life.
Yeah, that's my first girlfriend's out there, my wife's out there, my second girlfriend's out there.
He still finds it the most difficult to talk about his first girlfriend. Homer was 21 years old when Margaret Howell died in 1923 at the age of 17. He's never quite gotten over Margaret's death.
Yeah, that sort of still touches me. I can't talk about it. I can just... The day school opened, a boy had a little old pickup thing with a platform, and three girls and one boy went out to Shell Road on the way to St. Joe. They wasn't going to St. Joe, but called a three-mile turn, and he turned in that sand, and it turned over, and it hurt the other two girls, but it killed them.
Were you going to get married?
As soon as we got enough to eat, we was going to get married, yeah. It's a real touchy subject with me. I just ain't man enough to stand up on this.
We were young all our lives, and we lived every day. When we danced, my sweet Margaret, every head turned our way. Every night when I held you, our cares slipped away. Oh, I miss you, sweet Margaret.
Homer Marks spent most of his life only a few blocks from the house he was born in, close to the Methodist Church, before the city put in that blinking light. He remembers the startup and demise of virtually every business venture in Apalachicola. In many ways, he represents the paradox facing many old fishing communities like Apalachicola. He reflects the kind of old-world gentility, history, and color that tourists seek. And yet, that creates another threat to the town's culture and history, to the river, estuaries, and bay that the seafood industry relies on. Ironically, Homer Marks' father had a role in deciding where to build the key bridge that connects Apalachicola to its East Point neighbor across the bay. The highway bridge construction in 1935 changed the community forever.